In the name of the Father and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Good evening, everyone. Continuing our study, Second Peter chapter 3, and hoping again between today and next, you know, before the Great Lent, we'll finish chapter 3, finish the two epistles, and then we'll move into something else, God willing. As I said, we're thoughts, we're just praying more about it. To take Isaiah and as a thematic study instead of chapter by chapter or verse by verse. So just kind of like scan the whole thing and see what are the main themes and then connect it together and see what does that say. So may God give us more grace and strength to have such a study. But back to 2 Peter again. And as we said, the first chapter is talking more and more about who we are and what we have in the Lord. Second chapter about the warning about the false teachers and the characteristics of those and that kind of mindset. And then chapter 3 coming to the conclusion of that, you know, there is judgment and the day is coming. And what is that? What are those signs and how we be prepared and how should we act upon that? So we talked about this last time. Chapter 3 from 1 till 7. And the idea of that he is always reminding them, right? I will remind you more and more. And that's why we always need that reminder that we know that, you know, that the Lord is coming and that there is judgment. Before I go in, I just remember the story that I read it somewhere about an elder lady that in one of the villages somewhere, and she is actually poor, but she sew and make dresses, right? And one time her neighbor came in and saw her actually working very, very, very hard and very, very fast, very fast in finishing the piece that she's working on. And she's poor village somewhere, remote. No power, no electricity, so she is sewing under the light of candle. Okay? And then again, each time the neighbor will come and visit her, and she sees her working really very, very, very hard and very fast. Like, you know, at one point, like, you don't stop. Like, what's happening? What's wrong with you? Take a break. She goes, I cannot take a break because I'm doing this under the light of the one and only candle that I have. And I have to finish this before that candle goes off. And if I slack, if I take my time, if I take a break, that candle will go to waste and I won't be able to finish what I'm doing. But then doing this, I'll be able to actually finish that. And then with selling that and with the, you know, income that will come from this, I'll be able to survive. And I remember the story as we're talking more and more about the day of the Lord, right? And how we should be really, and we'll talk about this more and more today, not only to be ready, but to haste, right? For redeem the time, redeem the time. Because that candle at one point will burn out and we won't be able to finish what we're supposed to finish, right? So when you look at this from that context and see exactly, again, remember exactly, imagine really somebody that, like, okay, this is all what she has, this is the source of income, the source of survival for her, right? And she knows that if this candle goes out, that's it. I'm dead. So even if I have to sew 24/7 to finish that, I'll do that. That urgency, that understanding, that hope that she will do something, she'll be able to sell it and get more income and be able to probably live a better life than what she's living right now, just off a one burning candle that is about to go off. And it really hit me because that's exactly, you know, visualizing and putting that what we're talking about in context of how to be ready, right? And how to really be redeeming the time, as we're saying, right? And that's why St. Peter here finished that second epistle to his people and to the people who are out there, like, you know what, redeem the time, he's coming, right? So hurry up and finish what you're working on before it's too late. For it's too late, right? And that's why he's saying them again and again and again. Again, remember it, we were talking last time, you know, the way the people would greet each other in the first era, in the first century of Christianity, is Maran Atha, the Lord is coming, the Lord is near, Ar-Rabbu Qareeb, right? So as they're saying this to each other, they're reminding each other and say, like, hey, well, as this is reality and this is truth, you know, we better hurry up and finish that work that we're doing before it's too late. Comes the next passage that we're reading today, maybe from 8, we'll see, 8 to 13 or so. Let's read it together first, and then we'll see how we can benefit from the Word of God. So again, 2 Peter chapter 3, and from verse 8, as we continued from last time. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies, or the elements in another translation, the elements will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting and for and hastening the coming of the day of God, waiting and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. I just stop at this part and then leave the final words for maybe next time. What is you're trying to say here? You know, from verse 8 again. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. What is he trying to say? Okay. Okay.
So don't worry that, okay, well, where is he? He was just saying before that, you know, people are saying he's not coming.
He's not coming, right.
He's saying not today or tomorrow, this is he that's not coming, but he's waiting on us to give us time for repentance.
Right. Right. So he's giving them a very, very important fact, which is the fact of that God is beyond the time, right? Beyond the time. What else hits you when you hear this, you know, 1,000 days like one day, and one day is like 1,000 days? What else hits you? Other thoughts? Yes, Dave.
The fact that today is no different than any other day, and we are all the same today as those who were even 1,000 years ago, having the same need to do the same thing, which is look to God and not knowing if tomorrow will be the end of it, but it's the same as people did 1,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago. It's kind of a, like ages upon ages. We're always generation upon generation. We just keep going,
yes,
and living out this hope. And the same previous time.
Yes.
Time is meaningless.
Right, right. You know, that's a good point, because again, a lot of times you say, well, I think, you know, the time in the past was much easier than now, right? Or we keep comparing, keep doing that comparison. And, you know, the time of the church saints and the fathers, you know, they didn't have all the challenges that we have right now, and they didn't, you know, it was easier for them, right? But again, you know, with that context here, with that verse that, you know, that there's God is beyond the time, he's saying, like, you know what, No, I mean it's there are challenges for every time, for every period, for every part of the world, for everything, but they're all pretty much the same distractions. If you go to the root of the problem, it's all the same, right? It's all the same. That devil and Satan is trying to take us away from that, and from, as we'll talk later on here, that the long suffering and the mercy of God, right? Into being so much entangled with too many other things. So don't worry about the time. Oh, yes, he kept saying, "I'm coming, I'm coming." I said, "He's not coming." So it's not the again the same thing. I had this conversation around the time of COVID vaccine. Remember, and all those thoughts and opinions and ideologies. And this is the mark of the beast, and this is what's happening in the Revelation, and this is. All those things, and do you think this is the end of the world? Like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, right? Whether it's gonna be in a vaccine or in something else, that's not the point. That's not the point. The point is to be as St. Peter here is trying to tell them, just be ready, right? It's beyond the time, beyond the time. He is beyond the time. What else? What other thoughts? Other thoughts.
Still think that when he uses a thousand, I think that means in my mind across ages. As he says, when he's breaking the bread for the thousand, it's always like 5,000, 4,000, and to me it's like people across time, time
Okay.
itself. Words of the Bible, it's like 1,000 years. It's time. 120,000 people in Nineveh. Where they're ending 12 by 1,000. It's like across time. This is the way it is. I think
Right.
there's a ten element of the meaning of time itself in the Bible.
Right. Yes. Yes. That's another thought. One of the things let me just read something here for you again from where is it? From Athanasius. Beautiful, beautiful quote. Saint Athanasius talking about that. He says, listen to this and pay attention. 1,000 years in that is the time that the temple worship lasted. This is Saint Athanasius. 1,000 years is the time that the temple worship lasted. How is that? Solomon. Exactly. Exactly. So listen to this. This is beautiful. This is kind of amazing. For from the completion of the temple by Solomon, who built the Lord's house until it became redundant when Christ died on the cross, is 1,000 years. Okay? This 1,000 years is compared to a day or to a watch in the night, because everything appeared to be night before the coming of the Savior. It's beautiful. And definitely that's the work of the Spirit, right? Definitely the work of the Spirit. So from Solomon to the Lord is what? 1,000 years, right? And this is the time where the worship happened in the temple, right? And this is the time which was, according to St. Athanasius here, talks about it as what? To watch in the night. All this before the coming of the Son of Righteousness. SUN/SON, right? The Son of Righteousness. So he's saying that when he is saying this, he's kind of, hinting on the fact that all this time, away from the Lord and away from the coming of the Lord is, right? So this 1,000 years is compared to a day or to a watch in the night, because everything appeared to be night before the coming of the Savior. For until the sun, that's SUN, of righteousness arose, everyone dwelt in ignorance and confusion. Right.
And the day began with dark, and then there was light.
Right.
And so
Yes.
always darkness first, and all
It
that
came with
light.
the darkness, and then, yes. But what does that's a great point. What does that thought of Athanasius tells us? That's a beautiful fact, beautiful, beautiful way of thinking. Again, the last passage that he said is that for until the Son of Righteousness arose, everyone dwelt in ignorance and confusion. Right? He is the light. He is the light. Right. So here, yes, so here counting the time and observing the time is based on what? Yes, from darkness to light. From darkness to light. Okay. So again, what does that mean in relation to being prepared? Right? Is always stay in the light. Right? So again, you know, the what was it? The 20K was it, or 2000, the year 2000, remember that time? Y2K, yes, like a, yes. Y2K, you know, something like a huge big thing is going to happen and all the computers will shut down. Don't fly on that day and don't, right? And be prepared and pull your money out of the bank, right? Remember those craziness, yeah? And then, okay, nothing happened, right? And then came up with a couple other days, nothing happened. And then came COVID and nothing still, you know, right? Again, don't miss the message. The message is that 1,000 days or 1,000 years, that is the time of darkness, right? It's one day because it's before the light comes. So let's count our days by being in the sun, being in the light. And it's amazing when the Lord said that, you know, the light came to the world, but the world did not want to live in the light, in the darkness, right? They preferred the darkness over the light. It's beautiful to, again, that's why, you know, going back again to the fathers and looking at this, it's just a totally different, you know, understanding. Right? Then Athanasius is saying that this is actually the time before Christ, right? Another quote also in that, Eusebius of Emesa says, Scripture says that human life is short and full of trouble. But you belong to the unseen and eternal one. You know, if you go look at the book of Kings, for example, in the Old Testament, and so died and then went with his fathers, right? And they were, you know, and then, you know, okay. And as if it's like, okay, there is just like, okay, well, no matter what they've done, at the end of the day, they were just like, you know, they're gone, right? So Eusebius here is saying, Scripture says that human life is short and full of trouble. But you belong to the unseen and eternal one. And 1,000 years are like a single day, or even like a watch of the night. It is during the fourth watch that those who are entrusted to guard it are divided. And it was during that watch that the Lord came to the holy apostles. Right? So that the end of the thousand, you know, again, the fourth watch, the end, you know, beyond the time, that's where the Lord comes. If he has spoken this way about 1,000 years, it is clear that the lifespan of a man is extremely short. The day of the Lord is like 1,000 years, and yet it is undivided. No one lives for 1,000 years, but no one has known a full day of the Lord either. Right? No one has known a full day of the Lord either. Again, what he's trying to say in a simple way, live in the day of the Lord. Live in the day of the Lord, right? Regardless, you know, the day of the Lord, different timing, different way of looking at things, but the main component and the standard and the reference to that is what? Is the light. Is the light. Not the actual days and minutes and hours, right? Just being in the light. That's why, again, coming to the liturgy, this is what we say beyond the time, right? Again, we keep saying this during the liturgy several times, now and forever to the ages of all ages, amen. Why? Because now and ever is all coming together now, here. Right. We're just actually just came from the retreat for the college and grads, and Father Daniel Habib from California is giving a talk about the liturgy and about the education. The liturgy is a source of education to inform, to form, and to transform. He was talking about those three things: to inform and to form and to transform. Amazing, beautiful, beautiful talk. But the idea came also that the liturgy teaches us about two things. Who God is and who I am. Okay? When we start the liturgy, for example, by the prayer of reconciliation, O God, the great, the eternal, right? Okay, it tells everyone who God is. He's the great, he's the eternal, right? Right? Or if we go to the Gregorian, right? The un, right? Always the negation of describing who he is. So, you know, with this, again, we can capture that idea of, again, that it's beyond the time. You know, don't just worry about the time that Tosi is trying to tell. What else? Any other thoughts about this before we move on? Yes. 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 That he wrote. Yes. Right. The darkness. Exactly. Exactly. Yes. Yes. And that's what he used the quotation from Psalm 90. Exactly. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yes, yes, right, right. So it's coming together because he, and then what he wrote, what Moses wrote, is based on what the Lord told him, right? So all those details about the creation, everything, you know, the tradition says that the Lord told him, told Moses everything on the mountain, and that's what he wrote, right? It's interesting also when you look at the sermon that St. Peter gave in the book of Acts chapter 2, right? And he used actually the same thing. In Acts 2:20, he says the same thing. And I will show, talking about the day of the Lord, right? So but Peter standing with the 11 lifted up his voice and addressed them. This is Acts 2:14. Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk, when they were talking about the disciples as they're drunk because of their speaking in tongues. As you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day, but this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel, and in the last days it shall be, God declares that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, right? And then goes on in verse 20 that, and I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. You know, the day of the Lord. Again, you know, Peter used this also quotation from Joel and used it in his own sermon, the day of the Lord, because that's exactly what he's using here also in 2 Peter 8 and 9 and 10, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. So that expression of the day of the Lord, right? Again, something that was very peculiar to Peter's writing and to his thoughts together. So again, he's telling them, you know, even though, you know, the day is delayed, you know, don't, you know, doubt, don't think that God is just slow or God forgot or whatever we're teaching is all just kind of like a bunch of lies. No, because again, you know, it's not about the time, it's about the light, about being in the day of the Lord, right? In the day of the Lord and being prepared for that, right? And then he goes on. The Lord is, again, in verse 9, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you. Why is he patient? According to verse 9. So why is the Lord, again, that question, like, why is he delaying? Right? Why is he delaying?
Because he's patient.
Yes, he's patient to get as much time to the people, to humanity, to every single person to repent. I was just reading something that says, like, you know, when really there isn't a single person on earth that is able to repent, then is the day of the Lord is come. Right? And just it shows how much love and how much care and how much mercy. Right? Again, you know, a lot of times we really don't know, we can't really, or we portray who God is based on our own mind, our, you know, the view, the world view, or whatever. But you look at this passage, she really shows exactly who God is, right? That he is waiting and waiting and waiting, right? That no one shall perish. That's what he said. So imagine that, you know, the coming, his coming again to declare his kingdom is dependent on whom? On each one of us, on each single person, right? As long as there is an opportunity, okay, you know, Remember the story with Abraham and the Lord and Sodom and Gomorrah, right? I just know. Well, don't wait, you know. Don't just wait. There are, you know, even 10, right? Right. So it is very, very, number one, it's very encouraging. Number two, it's very hopeful. Number three, it actually puts more and more, I don't want to say pressure, but understanding of the urgency, right? And that's why later on he says, you know, in what manner you ought to live, right? Right. But the idea here, again, that the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, long-suffering towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Reach repentance here is you know, in the wording itself is a little bit more than just reach repentance. What is it here in the come to? That all should come to repentance. Why is he using this language? Come to repentance, not just to repent. Okay.
Father called us. But we ultimately must come to the Lord.
Come to the Lord. Yes. 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 Remember, I was talking about this on Sunday. The first thing is to come, right? Come to him, right?
Yeah.
And when you come, you'll be drawn. When you're drawn, you'll be taught. And when you're taught, you now you're able to eat, right? Yes. So here it's very important, very interesting when Peter uses this language that, you know, to come to repentance, right? Come here in the meaning of reaching, as it says again, you know, the ESV, you know, use it as I read, it says to, where did it go? I lost. There you go. To reach repentance, reach as it is something that you should what get to and reach it and grasp it, right? Why? Because it's an opportunity, and that opportunity might not come again, right? That's why he says, "Do not consider God's long suffering what as just a reason for us to slack and reason for us to be relaxed." Yes, dear.
Gives us to the Lord, and we come to the Lord as kind of this interesting relationship. And then the Lord, who is essentially kind of brought in some way, shape, or form from God the Father to the Lord, is says from the Lord's perspective, he's not going to cast us out. He will not deny us. We come to him, truly seeking him, come to him.
Right, right. Yes. And that also gives us to understand that he's always waiting, right? You know, the door or the acceptance. This is a very, very important point, because a lot of times, you know, we think like we're away from the repentance, or it's too far away from us, or you know, there is you know, no hope of getting, you know, back to the right, on the right path again. But you know, this verse, Saint Augustine says the following: the Lord does not delay the promise. A little while and we shall see him, where we shall no more ask anything. We will no more ask anything, because nothing will remain to be desired, nothing will be hidden to be inquired about, right? And again, the idea of, that's why we need to come to him, come to the repentance. Come meaning actually, you know, that we are intentional about it, right? I will actually take the step and come. Right? And we'll talk about this, you know, in a few minutes also here. Another quote, you know, says, St. Pacomius actually says, "Let us not look upon God's patience as ignorance. He holds back and delays so that when we have been converted to a better state, we may not be handed over to torments." Right? So, again, grasp that opportunity. You know, one of the you know, talks that like really had its own impact on me personally. We were in a retreat long, long time ago. It was titled time of repentance is limited. Zaman al-Tuba mahdood. I remember it very, very well. That was back in 85, 86. But I really, very, very remember that it was like a wake-up call, right? Like, you know what? You know, yes, God is merciful, as you're saying. But then again, you know, you have to come. You have to come every day. Every day. Right? Why every day? Because out of love, not out of anything else. Right? I was just thinking about this as I was driving today, you know, for an hour and a half from the retreat. You know, the idea is if I love someone very, very much, I will make every effort not to make that person sad, right? And because of that, I'll always come, and sometimes you overdo it, like, you know, it's, for whatever we do, like, well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Like, well, don't keep saying sorry, right? But we have that intention of what? Of bringing ourselves and humbling ourselves and being very, very careful lest we hurt the heart of the one that we love, right? And I think if we look at this to our relationship with the Lord, we become more and more and more watchful, right? Like, we don't want to hurt him. We don't want to hurt that, you know what? I know how much he loved me. I know how much he did everything for me. And we're just talking about this earlier today at the retreat, that acknowledge the love is not just by the thoughts, but it has to be touched by the heart, right? And that's where, you know, if we remember when we were doing the Wednesday study with Mother Louise, touching the nous, right? The heart and the mind of the person, right? And that is touched by God in a mystical way, right? And because of that, the person starts to what? To react, to come, right? So again, the idea is when we said that everyone, but that all should reach repentance, but all should come to repentance, come to repentance based on what and because of what? Out of love, right? Yeah. It can start out of some kind of, okay, well, you know, things are going to happen and, you know, as it says here, and elements will dissolve and, you know, world is going to go. But, you know, always, 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 you know, that doesn't last unless it's really based on love, right? You know, so he's very, very clear in that point. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with roar, and the heavenly bodies, the elements. You know, here in the ESV says heavenly bodies. Some of the translation, some of the scholar says the elements, he's talking about the powers of heaven. But it's, you know, when you look at it more and more, it is more of the elements as the elements of the world. What are the four elements of the world?
Earth, air, fire, water.
Exactly. Water, earth, fire, and air. Air, right? Yeah. So he's talking about the elements as the actual word of the elements as things are put in order. Things are put in order together, right? So, and as we said last time, the idea is that will be renewed, not just destroyed, right? It will be coming to something, as it says here again, better, you know, new heaven and new earth, right? And nobody really knows. I mean, there are too many, you know, that topic is very, very, very confusing and very, like, open. Like, what is it? Like, really a new earth? Like, is this earth going to be an earth, like another earth here? Or what is that like? You know, and then is this metaphor? Is it real? Is this, like, you know, even the fathers itself, I spent some time kind of researching this and see what the fathers are saying about this. And you see some people are saying, you know, there's going to be a new earth somewhere, somehow. We don't know what that is, you know. You know, again, the book of Revelation coming down, right? You know, so where is it coming from and coming to what area, what distance, what extent? Again, that's not the point. That's not the point. Whatever Christ is, that is heaven, right? It can go into all over the place with theories and imaginations and what is it going to be like and everything. But you know what? That's, you know, we want heaven because we want Christ, not we want, you know, whatever shape or whatever place or whatever that is. Right? Any thoughts about this?
Abuna, so
yes.
you're referring to elements in verse 10?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's interesting. So the word is stachion. I believe that's how it's pronounced. And one of the synonyms is, yes, it's heavenly bodies. Element also can be rudimentary principle or elementary rule.
Right. Things in order.
So, yeah, right, right. So that's, I mean, maybe he really does mean elements in heaven, but it's just it's got me thinking. It's got me thinking about, you know, okay, something, you know, some value or something that we assume is a certain way is radically going to change. You know, I mean,
yes,
I don't know, but maybe.
Yeah, something that is very, very, very well put in order is not going to be there anymore, right? So again, the idea is whatever we're trying to put in order, right, for all our lives, you know, at one point, it's going to go with the elements of the world itself, right? Yes, thanks, Brian. Another word in this verse also that's very, very interesting, I don't know if you paid attention to it or not, will pass away with a great noise, with a great noise, here in the ESV, with a roar. What do you think of this? Yes, Albert.
In the book of Revelation 7, it says that our Lord will come with the sound of a trumpet.
In the Revelation, it's coming with a trumpet, right? Okay.
So it's going to be allowed.
It is that again. When you look at the word in the classical Greek, it actually refers to something that's very, very interesting. It says, in classical Greek, is the whistling of an arrow. Right? The whistling of an arrow. What does that bring to mind? Speed. Speed, right? Yeah. Because the verse again, it says that with, right, the day of the Lord come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar. In the classical Greek, it's a whistling of an arrow, the sound of a shepherd's pipe, another sound, another meaning. The rush of winds, right? Splash of water. Just that's, you know, that sudden speed, right? Again, remember, St. Peter is telling them that these things are real, right? Because they're saying it's not going to come. You know, he's been saying that, you know, we've been waiting and waiting. He said, no, don't, you know, think this way. You know, it's not about the time. God is beyond the time. God is himself, the light. And God is waiting and waiting, not because he lies, but because out of his mercy, out of his long suffering, out of his taking every opportunity for every single person to repent. Right? So don't worry about he's coming or he's not. Worry more about being ready, right? To come to repentance. Offer yourself in repentance. Why? Because that day is going to come like a thief without anybody knowing. The thing will come very, very fast as the whistle of an arrow, as the splash of a water, as the shepherd's pipe, the rush of the winds. Right? Yes. Go ahead, David, first, and then Brian. Yes. Yes. Right. Yeah. Yes. Right. Profound. Right. Yes. Becomes right. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Brian. Yes. Thank you.
So, this is a case where the Greek, going back to the Greek, is really important because. In my mind, if I read roar, I would think of one of the things I would think of was like an explosion, like we've split the atom, right? We know the force of a nuclear blast and that kind of thing, and it makes me kind of think. Yes. But that's not the Greek. You're right. It's like it's a whistling sound. Whistling of an arrow, a rushing sound.
Yes.
That's different than an explosion to me.
Right. And again, that's why, you know, just he's very, very in details of saying that this is something that is real, right? It's going to happen. It's real. And you see again the parallel between this and between Jude and between even the Old Testament, that when they talk about the day of the Lord, right? You see that parallel of describing what that is. Right? Another thing that's really important. Yes, go ahead. Sorry.
The point of mentioning that the day of the Lord as a thief, this expression, our Lord Jesus also used it in Luke 12, and St. Paul also used it in the epistle to Thessalonica.
Yes.
The three of them use the same term. Also in the point of elements, the elements here, it is something which can melt, because he says that the elements will melt with fervent heat, something right. which is physical.
Yes.
It is not air. It is not air. It is element. Element which can be melt. The air cannot be melt.
Yes. Yes. The and that's what we're saying, that he's talking about something that is real, something is going to happen. It's not just imagination, right? It's not imagination, right? And you know, it is funny, a lot of people actually, when he talks about, you know, that the world was made by water, and the end of the time will be by fire, and a lot of people will say this fire is probably the atomic bomb or the nuclear or all those things, and all that that energy and fire that is preserved for, you know, again, we don't care, right? That's not the point. That's not the point. The point is what he talks about in verse 11. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness? That's the point. That's the point. Yes. He's talking about a physical thing that's going to happen, elements that will dissolve, elements, you know, again, the component or the everything that will actually come to the point of not being there anymore. But, you know, because of that, you know, you ought to be in lives of holiness and godliness. Remember, where did godliness came when we studied the book, 2 Peter? This is very important, because again, you know, if you hear all those things and you say, okay, well, now he's saying that you ought to live in godliness. And then you look back again, well, how can we live in godliness in the midst of, you know, false teaching, in the midst of challenges, in the midst of, you know, our own flaws, everything, and it become actually more and more sounds like more and more harder, right? You're painting that portray of the end of the world, of fire dissolving things, and then you say, well, now, as if he's saying, now, you know what, you better live in godliness, but good luck with that. No, but he's not saying that, right? Where did godliness came from, or came when we discussed this earlier? Chapter 1, verse 3. Remember this. Remember that the beginning of the epistle is very, very important, right? He said, okay, you have the same faith that was the faith of the disciples and the faith of the apostles, the precious faith. Remember when we talked about this, right? And because of that, in verse 3, it says, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. That's exactly what he's talking about in towards the end of the epistle. See the parallel? Why is that very important to link both together? So he said again, okay, because of this, everything is going to go away. Then you are to, this is that, again, the urgency and the order. You are to live in a life of holiness and godliness. But remember, I already told you that the divine power is giving you everything to live that. So what he's basically simply trying to say is what? Stay connected to him, right? Don't worry about all those things. You know, the elements will dissolve, the sun and, you know, the heaven will do with the rush of the whistle of the arrow. And, you know, just don't worry. Don't get all those things distract you, whether it's coming or not coming or when or where or whatever. Just remember that you have the divine power that gives you everything pertaining to what? Godliness and holiness. And I think that's what we need nowadays, right? As I was saying on, I was talking about this Saturday in the Arabic liturgy, right? That all the records and all the thoughts and all the things that are out there, you know, talking about religion and talking about Christianity and talking about theology and talking about end of the days and all those things, very, very confusing, right? And it's all over the place. But we have one news, one good news, which is the Lord himself. That's why St. Luke, in the beginning of the Gospel of Luke, like, well, that's why I'm writing you this. This is the actual account of the Lord Christ, right? And if you stick to this, you're given the divine power that gives you what you need to live a godliness and life of holiness. And because of that, not only that, but because of that, you'll do something else, which is what? Waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God. So, you know, we'll end today with these two words: waiting and hastening the coming of the day of God. What do you think of this? Is there a difference between waiting and hastening? Albert.
Please.
Hello. I guess hastening is more like wanting it to come back quickly.
Wanting it to come quickly. Okay. Yes. Okay, that's a very good point, and we'll talk about this more. So waiting it for to come quickly, is this like a passive waiting? Here I am just waiting, no, please come, because that's sometimes that's what comes to our mind. Okay, well, you know, and even the reason behind it sometimes might be even just come, you know, right? You know, this whole world is just, you know, it's a big trouble and every day is a struggle. You know, just come and just let us, you know, forget about that whole thing, right? But that's not the point, right? Brian, you wanted to say something.
Yeah, so, I mean, those two things, they seem to be opposites, but I guess to my mind, waiting, it's like an active waiting. Mm. It's an active waiting that, okay, pay attention, you know, be aware it's coming, you know, that piece of it. And then the hastening is don't waste time, you know, go back to the candle, your story about the woman and the candle. And yes. Yeah, you know, we're visitors, you know, we're visitors and we got limited time, you know. And
yes.
So don't waste time.
Yes. You know, Hilary of Arles from the 4th century says, you are waiting for the end as the virgins waiting for the bridegroom, right? Yes. Yes. It's really, you know, I like what you said, Brian, is like two, sounds like paradox, like waiting and hastening, right? Like waiting, right? But also hurrying. One of the things that I was just kind of like digging deeper into that, and it really makes much more sense. You know, one of the scholars says, hastening here in the meaning of causing the day of the Lord to come more quickly, which what you said, but how? Look at this. By helping to fulfill those conditions without which it cannot come. So now it's very, very important point here that us will be helping that earnest desire for the Lord's day to come by fulfilling the conditions without which it cannot come. Which means what? In a practical way. Repentance. Exactly. Exactly. Right? So it's very, very, very beautiful. causing the day of the Lord to come more quickly by helping to fulfill those conditions without which it cannot come. That day being no day inexorably fixed, but one the arrival of which is it is free to the church to hasten on by faith and prayer. Again, the parable of the virgins, right? The 10, the 5 who are ready. Ready. Right. So not just waiting and not just waiting, okay, please come fast without doing anything. No, that means I have to actually do something. Right? And then back again to the point of, okay, you know, once saved, we're all saved. No, right? We are waiting earnestly, desiring. Right? I always say again, if you have like a, you know, a huge big banquet, right, or a wedding, right, and you're waiting for the day to come, right, and you are so excited about it, and you'll continue to work till the last, you know, till even the last, you know, guest will leave, right, and making sure that everything is perfect and making sure everything that is in order and nothing falls behind and nothing get out of control, right? You know, I do the pre-marriage counseling always, know, Abuna, we're so stressed because of the wedding preparation. God bless. How much are we concerned about the bridal chamber between us and the Lord? Right? We spend time and money and efforts and resources and everything and making sure, you know, with the list of things and list of what's needed and not to mix and not to fail to miss anything, and right, and then like, okay, how about the day. That's why it says here again, not only that we are waiting or hasting, just like not doing anything, but the transitive meaning of hasting, again causing the day of the Lord to come more quickly by helping to fulfill those conditions. And then in another explanation, it says also, compare the words, you know, in Acts 3:19, it says, repent and be converted. When the Peter himself is talking again, repent and be converted, right? And, you know, that so there may come seasons of refreshing. Remember that passage when St. Peter was giving the sermon, right? One of the Jewish rabbis says, if you keep the precept, you hasten the day of Messiah. Right? If you keep that understanding and keep the preparation, keep it by again working on making it, you know, fulfilling the requirements, that will hasten the day, right, of his coming. Right? So in a way, what St. Peter is telling them here at the end is wait, but not just waiting inactively, passively, wait and hasten. But how can we hasten that we fulfill the requirements, which is what basically, you know, repentance, loving each other, serving him, contemplating about him, being taught by him, all those things, right, that we put together in order to be, okay, we, the church is ready, right? The bride is ready for the bridegroom. And now we say with the revelation, with the bride, oh, amen, come, O Lord. Okay. But according to his promise, we are waiting for a new heavens and new earth in which righteousness dwells. It makes everything comes to reality, right? And that's why he is kind of like maybe in a way figurative language as far as, you know, heavens and fire and elements and dissolving and all those things. But he's trying to tell them that this is reality. This is reality, the actual, you know, reality of this. Not to be destroyed for punishment, but to be renewed for a new heaven and a new earth. And because of that, you ought to be ready. Because you are part of this. We are part of that. Right? That's what St. Paul says, that he prepared his church, the bride, to be always what? Without blemish, no wrinkles, always new. Right? In Ephesians. Right? Always beautiful, always young. Right? Nothing of this will impact the bride of the bridegroom. Right? But again, remember that you have to wait and earnestly waiting, right? It's very, very important to hasten the day of the Lord. Yes, Karina. Yes, sure. Yes. Yes. Right.
They didn't know it was there.
Okay.
Right? They didn't recognize him. They didn't accept him.
Right.
If they would have paid attention.
Yes. To the scriptures. Yes. Right. Yes.
There.
Right. Right.
So I think many people are just going to play on words. First of all, because he says 1,000 year, one day,
1,000 years. Yes.
So, and then he uses different words for it.
Right.
Because it comes back to the pattern.
Mm.
But the point, I think, is that he sort of makes a sketchy thing, saying, so you be prepared because they didn't recognize their Savior.
Right.
Because the Jews were very particular about
yes.
their timing.
Right. Yes, yes, yes. The 7 and the 770 and everything. Right. You should have known. Should have known. Yes. Yes. Don't be like them. Exactly. Yes. Yes. They, right. Yes. They, no, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. They missed the opportunity. It was right there. It was right there. Right. And they missed the opportunity. They missed the timing. They missed everything. Right. Why? Because again, they portrayed certain view of that Messiah based on their own needs, right? Not based on the scripture, right? And it goes back again, that flows actually more and more, I'll add to this, Karina, goes back again to the wrong teaching, right? Wrong teaching. It's not about him who's going to come to restore the world, but he will come to give back the dignity again and to save from the Romans and from the, you know, and build the temple again and all those, you know, yes. Yes. So it becomes very, very relevant, actually, right? Because we can, we have him in our, in the midst, right, you know, of the church, of the liturgy, of our lives, in our, you know, each one of us definitely had experienced that presence, right? And God is talking and speaking with each one in a very, very, very specific and personal way. Talk about this more and more tomorrow, God willing. But then we miss this, right? Why? Because we're waiting for something else. Or we have a different lenses we're looking through. So like, don't do that again. Don't do that again. Your fathers and grandfathers missed that opportunity. So don't you fall into the same problem again. Because it's real, it's coming, and he is merciful, right? So be part of that. Be part of that. Yes. 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 Earthquakes. Yes. With a noise. Yes, yes, then he, right. Yes. Better, yes. Right. Yes. And it's all to make the people awake, aware, think, right? It's happening, right? It's happening.
I'm looking at it again with her eyes, and I said, oh, yeah, the promise. For all that time, the Jews were waiting with the promise of his coming.
Right.
Now we have the new promise of his coming again
right.
on the last day.
Yes.
It's another promise. And we're to really believe that, has to be as the Jews were when they were sitting there on edge, going, we're waiting, we're expecting, we're urging him to come.
Right.
Which is his sentence there.
Yes.
We're doing the same. We're now, you're sitting there expecting, like the virgin waiting for to come and urging him to come.
Right.
And we will be the ones to, you know, conceivably recognize.
Recognize. Him
because
right.
We're looking.
Yes.
Not just,
you know, yes. Blind. Yes. Yes. And earnestly desiring. Yes. Think the words earnestly. Earnestly desiring is a beautiful, beautiful expression. Earnestly desiring that. Yes, yes, yes. Beautiful. Any other thoughts? Last thoughts? Okay, good. Thank God. So should be able to finish the whole thing next week, God willing, and then continue as we start the Lent. God bless. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, one God. And Lord, we thank you, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you give us, Lord, that earnest desire, Lord, to be waiting for you, Lord, and to acknowledge your coming, Lord, and acknowledge, Lord, and take every opportunity, every second, every minute, Lord, an opportunity for us to come to repentance, Lord, to pour out our hearts, to offer ourselves, Lord, as a living sacrifice, Lord, the sacrifice of the lips, Lord, the praising you, of the heart, of the mind, of the body, of everything, Lord. Giving you, Lord, all what we have, Lord, that you come and reign over our hearts, Lord. You know. Thank you for this day. Praying for everybody, Lord, those who are with us, those who are with us, those who are away, those who are struggling, those who have no one to remember them. Accept our prayers, repentance, and confessions. Prayers of all your saints in your name, Lord, and yes, our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Give us this day. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass. Lead us not temptation, but deliver us from evil. In Christ Jesus.
May the love of God the Father, the grace of his only begotten Son, the kingdom of the Holy Spirit with you, go in peace. Peace be with you. Have a good night. God bless you all.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.